Okay, reading from Narada Bhakta Sutras, Sutra 2. Satvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. Devotional service manifest as the most elevated pure love for God. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashandu Bayevicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from where I live upstate, the Sun Falls. Always so many people visiting. Gaurapriya is here with four kids, and it's nice. The children in the morning, they go out and they pick flowers and they bring me little vases to my deities, and then I feed them with coconut water or lemonade and cookies and things, and then they come back in the afternoon again. Many people just interested in Krishna consciousness stopping by, but still I have the time for myself, for my chanting and studying most of the morning. And I've been studying this Narada Bhakta Sutras and thinking of writing some kind of commentary on it. Prabhupada has a commentary at least for the first few verses, and then the BBT for the rest of them, and found some other books. But in tradition, there's really been no commentary. And the nature of Sanskrit, especially as their sutras, their very short aphorisms, a lot of the meaning is implied. So literally, it can mean many, many things. So I'm going to just probably explain from different angles what the verse could mean. And I, by God's grace, by Guru's grace, I do have somewhat of an analytical mind, and I'm really trying to apply myself to really see and understand the verses in context. So I'll go over a little bit about the first verse, and then we'll see how that leads to the second verse. First verse was, now therefore I try to explain the process of devotional service. So basically the first book declares the subject of the work, which is bhakti, or the school of bhakti. That implies, by the word atta, now. Now is always a word that has a lot of significance. It indicates some kind of either demarcation or some type of urgency. When something is urgent, you do it now. It can't be put off. So self-realization is like that. Trust no, what is it? Trust no future, however, whatever. Now, you know, someone was telling me about the advice of one of my godbrothers. A lady visited him, a friend of mine brought a lady to him who is his neighbor. And she was a Vallabha Vaishnav. And somehow their main commitment in their practice is the worship of the deity, just like our main commitment is a certain fixed number of rounds. So he brought the lady to meet this sadhu, my friend, and you know, he gave her advice she should do it. And she said, "I'll start tomorrow." And he said, "No, why start tomorrow? Do it this afternoon when you get back." Because that's the psychology. If something's important, then we should do it as soon as possible. And if we put it off, we deprioritize it. And once we deprioritize it, the chances are we never get to it. And that's the way the psychology of the mind works. So Yoga Sutras here is trying to counteract that by saying, now it's time for bhakti. Don't wait. This human form of life is so rare. In the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, one of his beautiful instructions was, Komara Achare Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavatanihā. Kamara Achare Pragyo, those who are children, if they're pragya, they're very intelligent, Dharman Bhagavataniha, they'll do the duty of worshiping God. Why? Even if they're young, why? Even if they're young, it's recommended. Why? If they're pragya, very ya, intelligent, why? Because Dulabham manasanjanma, because the human form of life, dulabham, it's very difficult to achieve it. Tadapyat dhruvam artadam. Even though tadapyat dhruvam, it is a dhruva, it is temporary like other forms of life, artadam. It possesses great value. Because in the human form of life, we are have the ability to be pensive, thoughtful, and change things for the better. So here it says, now I'll explain the process of devotional service. Also, the sense of now is that it's the culmination of spiritual life. If somehow or other you're getting Brahmanda, Brahmate, Konya, Bhagavan, Jeev, Guru, Krishna, Prashadi, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Beach, if you're wandering around universe to universe, species of life to species of life, Guru, Krishna, Prashadi, Pai, and by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Guru, Krishna, Prashadi, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Beach, you get the seed of devotion. And what is the seed of devotion? It's the faith in a conception to serve God as good, and it's the experience or taste to do so. You know, by mistake, I left my phone on. Excuse me. One second. Hey, Pajuna. Hi, Bo. Could you know? Yeah, I'm giving class now. I'll give you a call right after class, okay? 9:00. Okay, hello. I'll shut up my phone, excuse me. So, So the first verse indicated this urgency and a kind of a culmination that you can come to the point of bhakti, come to the point in human evolution where you are no longer desiring anything selfishly for yourself. That's the culmination of spiritual life. And in that sense, every other path that's not love is only to purify one, to get one to that point. And therefore, Prabhupada quoted the verse, Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mud Bhakti Nasochati Nakanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mud Bhakti Labhati Parim. After Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma, the joyful state of liberation, Nasochati, Nakanchati, free from lamentation, ignorance, and hankering, passion, Samasarveshu Bhuteshu, where you get off the platform of duality and it can see someone's soul and treat someone equally and see someone equally. Then, bhakti. So when someone comes to the path of bhakti, it's rare. And therefore, they want to explain the subject of the book and its standing among spiritual paths and the urgency to realize the self through it. Now, this verse defines what it is. It talks about sattvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. So, Asmin, for him, the form or nature of bhakti, the form or nature of bhakti is Asmin, it's for him. And what's for him? Parama Prema. Pure love, supreme, the supreme form of love. The supreme form of love. So what is bhakti? Bhakti is devotion to God, which is Parama Prema. It's the greatest form of love. So, it's that which is offered to God by one who is devoted with the purest love, with prema. This is the form, this is the nature of bhakti. Ishvara pranidhan, to surrender and give yourself to God. And bhakti must be love for God. For real devotion must be inclusive. Real devotion must be for everything. It must be repose or resting. First of all, the object of devotion has to be eternal. A worthy object of devotion must be eternal. It must be real. If it's not eternal, then the form of devotion... And what is real? Real is God, actually. That's what exists. What exists is the divine. So real love must be for that which is real, which is God. And therefore, when you are truly loving God, you're loving everyone and everything. Because you understand the nature of God is Advayam Gyan. It is consciousness, which is inclusive of everything. And without loving God, then your individual love is narrow and exclusive and full of duality. It's not bhakti. If you love God, then you can really love everyone. Without loving everyone, your love, without loving God, your love is narrow and exclusive and full of duality. Therefore, it's not pure love. Because your love of something or someone excludes affection to someone else. So bhakti must be for God. Your love must satisfy universal interest. And also here, Prabhupada takes it a little bit differently, which I think is quite interesting. What Prabhupada does is describe that bhakti, the nature of bhakti, or the form of bhakti, manifests as prema bhakti. Because prema can mean generically to love, and it could also mean the highest form of love. And the definition of prema bhakti is that one is love has achieved such a degree that there is nothing else in the consciousness but the object of love. Love is something that becomes thickened if it's pure. It's like the sun rays are lax, the sun rays are dense. It's the same thing. So in that way, love as it develops, pure devotion, as selflessness as it develops, it crystallizes, it condenses, until a point is achieved where there's nothing else in the consciousness besides the object of your love, which is God. That's called prema bhakti. Sandrandana visheshatma. It's the speciality, the specific specificity, anyway, the speciality of that nature of that prema is sandrandana. It's dense, like a piece of metal. You can't put a pin through it. So bhakti, ultimately, in its purest form, manifests as prema bhakti. That's the highest form of love. It's love for God where all you see is God, and there's nothing else in your consciousness but God. We talk about Radha. She has the most love for Krishna. Even when Krishna is not there, she sees Krishna. So the nature of prema is you see Krishna everywhere. That's real love. So thick, so deep. So true bhakti, selfless devotion, reaches purest form in prema, where there is nothing in one's consciousness but God. And again, this doesn't mean that you can't love others. But if your love of others is not connected with a type of universal love, then it's limited. It's limited. It's narrow. It's exclusive. It's full of duality. There's hate and there's also not... There's hate and there's love and there's hate. Now, in Prabhupada's purport, he takes this in a little bit of a different way. And he refers back to the previous chapter where he was discussing that bhakti, pure bhakti, is the culmination of self-realization. When the mind is pure, then one can purely, the nature of the soul, which is to love God, is perfectly reflected in the consciousness. So after the Brahma-Buddha stage, then one becomes situated in devotional service. And here it says the perfection of that devotional service is to love God. And loving God indicates an understanding not only that you're not this body, not only that you have you're transcendent to the mind and body, but you understand that although you are part of God, you're within the divine consciousness of God. You're not God. You are God and you're not God. It's just like my hand. You can point to my hand and say, this is the body. The hand is nothing but the body. But it's not the whole body. So we're nothing but God, but we're not the whole God. We're the part of God. And that distinction is necessary for love or devotion to exist. If one believes and has a faith, a reality, that there is something real in selflessness and love, if one has some inherent understanding of that, then one understands that there's a eternality of the soul. Perfection does not mean that one loses his individuality. Because if perfection means that everything is that in perfection there's only one thing and there's not individual souls, then we're denying love and perfection. We're denying that it's something that is real. Because love requires a subject and an object. If there's only one thing, there's not love. Because love comes to us from outside ourselves. And that's the nature of bhakti. The nature of bhakti, it's the essence of the divine's bliss potency. And for the divine to relish that bliss potency, it has to be put, in a sense, outside of the divine. It's not outside, it's not absolutely outside of the divine. But there must be individuals and souls to hold that potency, to exchange with the divine. So Prabhupada is making the point here that self-realization is based on the understanding that the living entity is eternally subordinate to the divine. It's not in perfection we become God. In perfection, we become the servant of God. For that loving exchange to begin. And therefore, to achieve the culmination or the perfection of bhakti, you have to begin with shraddha. You have to begin with some faith. And what is that faith? Faith is jivera supoi nijika, that I am eternally the servant of God. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kamat. Nityo nityanam. There's one supreme eternal and there's many supreme eternals. Chaitanas, chaitananam. Chaitanas, there's one supreme living force. Chaitananam, there's many. Eko, and that one. Eko, yo, bahudati. And that one is maintaining the others. So Prabhupada writes, the perfectional stage begins with activity in the self-realized position. And that activity is based on the understanding that a living entity is eternally subordinate servitor of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, there is no meaning to self-realization. If one is puffed up with the idea that he is the Supreme, or he's become one with the Supreme, or he's emerged into the Supreme, then he has not grasped the perfection of life. And there's a nice verse from the Bhagavatam. Yenye ravindakshuva muktamaniyas payasta pavana vishuddha buddhya aruriya katvena param padant. If you have not realized the personality of Godhead, then thinking you become liberated simply by understanding, then the muktama, it's imaginary. It's not permanent. And then Prabhupada concludes the purport. So let me just go over. The first verse declares the subject of the book. Now this book says, now this, the second sutra means that bhakti must be for God. Ishvara Pranidhan. This is Yoga Sutra. Ishvara, right? There's a Vishesh Purush. There's a special soul. So this is the yoga and bhakti philosophy. Bhakti must be love for God. The nature is love, pure love. And that's the supreme form. And when it matures, it goes through different stages. Sometimes people ask me, Marge, tell us how you came to Krishna consciousness. So basically, how do you get faith in anything? How does anyone get faith in anything? We don't move a step without faith, without some trust. That trust is based on a certain experience that gives us trust. It's like when you go to a doctor, if the relationship is good and there's a fruit to the knowledge that he gives, then you develop a trust. And based on that trust, you move forward with whatever that doctor recommends for you, even if it's beyond your present level of perception. It's not blind, it's reasonable. People ask me, how do I come to Krishna consciousness? How did I move in that direction? Well, I moved in that direction of giving myself to Krishna, giving myself to God. I moved in that direction by Shraddha. It began with some faith. And what's the faith? It begins on a preliminary understanding that I am not God, but I am the servant of God. And that's who I am by nature. Just like the hand is part of the body, it's meant to serve the body. When it serves the body, it becomes replenished. There was some kind of understanding. It may become by some knowledge or some explanation, but and then there's some application. I began to appreciate the concept based on some experience I had of the nature of the soul. Here I've been giving some japa meditation classes. So one person came in and I gave them some guided meditation. And in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I was explaining to them, now you should feel the soul. Because the mantra is the voice of the soul. What is the soul? The soul is a particle of consciousness, a particle of the supreme consciousness, and its constitution is to serve. Its constitution is to devote. Because the nature or constitution of the part, what the part is and what the function of the part is a relationship to the whole. The part serves the whole. We're not the whole, we're the part. We're meant to serve. So somehow or other, by mercy of Guru, the instructions, the inspiration, and the application of that, I got some inspiration that there is a divine supreme God. I am part of that supreme God, and I am meant to serve. And that activity, which is the nature of the soul, is the platform of sublimity. It's the platform of ultimate sublimity. But it's based first on a particular conception, a particular understanding. You can't be a devotee without an object of devotion. So if you deny the individuality of the soul, which is against the conclusions of the Bhagavad Gita, which is against the conclusions of the Yoga Sutras, and which is against the conclusion of almost all Indian schools of thought, except one part of one school, the Dvaita Vedanta. If you deny the speciality of God and the eternal individuality of the soul, it can't be bhakti. Bhakti is a mutual exchange. That's why the next verse is going to say, this pure love for God is eternal. Because if there's no eternal individuality of the soul, then at liberation, devotion doesn't exist. Because there's no object of devotion and there's no subject of devotion. everything is one, where is the love? So anyway, Prabhupada in this purport is describing a Tao Shraddha. First, there is that faith in this understanding as the fundamental position of reality. That there's God and God's energies. And therefore, there's eternally an exchange of service between the divine and that which is part of the divine and that which comes from the divine. So somehow or other, Bhakti Lata Beej, that conception, that idea, maybe from previous life, maybe by saintly souls in this life, it comes into the heart and we have experience of the soul. And then Prabhupada describes, this is a famous verse by Rupa Goswami, then there is Sadhu Sangha, that comes next. This is so good. To be a servant of God and to serve God. This is so good. It's the truth, and I feel it and I experience it's so good. Then Sadhu Sangha. Then one starts to take the association. Begins with sufficient faith in the process of bhakti for attaining perfection. And one has faith that Krishna, God, is the shelter, surrenders unto him, and that's the beginning. That our dharma is to love and to serve. Not materially motivated religion, that we are religious because we feel, you see these all the time in Christian churches, it's a completely materialistic conception of religion, that, you know, you worship Jesus and whatever you want, you'll get. Whatever success you want, you get, because even if it's true, what does that have to do with the soul and what Christ taught? Which is, what profit a man get if he gains the whole world and loses his eternal soul? So real dharma, real religion, is to realize the soul. And the process to do that is bhakti. Because it's the nature of the soul, selflessness. So then a Tao Shraddha, and then Sadhu Sangha. You associate with people who are more advanced than one, who are like-minded in the same spiritual conception or line, and Sneha, where we can develop some affectionate relationship. So you associate, and by that association, then the next step begins. And the next step begins to acceptance of particular spiritual practices, the acceptance of a spiritual teacher, a spiritual master, who guides us in the practices of devotional service, and then anartha nivritti, that which is anartha, that which has no value. This is all bhakti. It's the seed of prema. It's a plant that's growing and growing. Your conception, your idea, your feeling in your heart that I should serve God. And I should Ishvara Pran, I should surrender to God. I should give myself. that faith and not the faith in the purpose of life is for me to enjoy by controlling the world and conforming the world to my desires. To the extent that your faith lies there, that happiness will be to conform the world to my individual desires, is the extent that you don't have faith in God and being a servant of God. Sharanagati, surrender, means what? Surrender means that you have faith in God as the shelter. The shelter for what? The shelter for the soul. The shelter for satisfaction, for happiness. Shelter, it gives some shelter, some protection, some care. It maintains you. But not just the body, it maintains the soul. And one who has that kind of sharanagata, that faith, he does everything that's favorable to develop that spirit of devotion and to serve God. He has faith that that's the shelter. That's what will satisfy the inner core desires of the self. And he has faith, I'll give up what's unfavorable. And he has faith in that relationship that by serving the divine, I'll be completely protected. And that what will happen to me will be best for the realization of the soul. And one has faith in the humble position and loses faith in the position of pride, which is control. Does it have to be in control? You need to be in control if you want to be the enjoyer. If you want to be the servant, then there's always opportunity for service. Whatever your destiny, whatever your situation is, see, if you have faith in service, you're putting your faith in your, you're putting your faith in your happiness, not in what happens to you, but how you react. And therefore, your perfection is available at every moment. Because every situation has the same opportunity for service, for appropriate response as a servant of the divine. But if your faith is in being the controller, then your happiness is not in your control. Because you're not the control, the world's not moving according to your desires. I had a talk yesterday with someone who believes in the power of intention. You know, if you want something, you get it. Well, no, there are five factors of action. And one factor is the endeavor, but there's other factors. A lot of times what happens is the other factors are set up. It's what God wants, the time, the place, everything is right, but your effort's not there. And then you get some self-help, some faith, and you do your part, you put your intention out there, as they say, and you move, and then it happens. But then you come under the misconception that my endeavor itself will be sufficient to get whatever I want. But it's not. Because we're not the controllers. Anyway, then comes the stage anartha. What has no value we give up. We start following yam and niyam, some rules and regulations. Then nishta, we become very, very fixed. We can't be deviated. We have experienced our soul, and we've experienced God. And we know that there is a relationship. And the relationship is not that the soul is God, but that the soul is a servant of God. And we have faith in that. And therefore we become fixed in that conception and fixed in that activity. And then it continues. Then when we are fixed, a real taste becomes. It's just like the example of water. When you go at the foothills of the Himalayas and you drink that water, it's not yet has gone down the plains to pick up impurities. So Rasaham Apso Konteya, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the taste of water. I never understood that until I went to Rishikesh and I was drinking water coming directly down from the mountains. So sweet. It had taste. Why? Because it was just water. So pleasure is devotion. God's potency of pleasure is devotion. And therefore, for the Supreme to enjoy, he puts that potency in the hearts of willing souls who open their hearts and offer that back to the divine. So when you mix your surrender, you mix your love, you mix your service with personal motive, then the taste of devotion, the water becomes less sweet as it picks up the minerals. So as we pick up the particles of fruitive consciousness and selfishness in terms of gyan and karma, the desire for personal liberation, the desire for fruitive gain, then it compromises the taste. But when you finally become fixed and your faith has matured, I am a soul and the purpose of life is to serve the divine, and you're achieving that platform, when you become, then ruchi comes, then there's taste. And then after the taste, there's asakti. Asakti means attachment. You really get attachment, and then bhava, then prema. So Prabhupada, and that's real bhakti, because it is only bhakti. Kevala bhakti. Sriguru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti. It's only bhakti. Bhakti means apratiyata. It's not stopped. Ahoitaki. It's unmotivated. So the form, this verse says, devotional service, its form is pure love of God. That's the supreme form of love. The supreme form of love is the object is God, and your devotion for God is pure. And therefore, Prabhupada mentions here very significantly, where did he mention that? The perfection of devotional service to attain love of God. Love of God involves the Supreme Personality of God at the devotee in the process of devotional service. There's God, there's the devotee, and there's the exchange. And the topmost form of that exchange is prema, is pure love. And you give yourself fully. Okay, are there any questions? Would anybody please like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is
you. Mel, do you have any questions?
Yeah. if you could just elaborate on when you were saying that if you don't love God, but you're trying to love somebody, I know there's an echo for some reason.
Anyway. Is that echo from your phone?
I don't know. I just hear it. I don't know where it's coming from. I mean, I was using my phone before and I didn't hear echo.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, you were saying that, you know, if you're trying to love someone without loving God, then you will experience duality. So can you explain what is that duality and why we would experience
the duality it? Is you're loving someone and not loving someone else.
Mm.
So it's exclusive. It's narrow. You're not loving everything.
Okay. This word duality, it has seemed like it has such so many different meanings depending on the context.
It does. And I was thinking maybe, just put it this way. One is you're loving someone and not loving someone else.
Oh, okay.
It can't be the highest form of love. The highest form of love where you're loving everything and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions?
No, that was easy. I said that was easier than I expected it to be.
Well, that's the easiest you surrendered to one of my answers ever. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Very nice. Thank you, Govardhan. Good. Anybody on the 13th, Gail?
Yes.
On the 13th, and Govardhan, I think you already know. We're having a program at Gopi Shores with Bakshmi in the morning. You know about that?
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Maharaj, did you receive email? Brother Raja sent it?
What's that?
Brother Raja sent an email. Did you receive it about the crackers?
I can't understand. What?
Okay, Brother Raja sent an email to you about crackers.
Oh, okay. I'll decide. Okay. 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 I'll get back on that.
Thank you, Madam.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Thank you, Governor.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kumar.
Well, we have our regulars here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.